Spectrum Business works with small businesses nationwide, so we know that running your own business means doing it all. Marketing, sales, inventory, customer service, and more. Spectrum One for Business helps you keep it all connected for just $49.99 a month. Get fast, reliable internet, advanced Wi-Fi with Security Shield, and a free mobile line for one low price. Stay connected and do it all with Spectrum One for Business. Only $49.99 a month. Go to spectrum.com/business to learn more. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You're listening to the Hamilton Today podcast from 900 CHML.
Brand new Speaker of the House today, Craig Fergus, sworn in, the first black person to be the Speaker in the House of Commons. Of course, that set in motion after Speaker Rota had to step down due to the Nazi in the gallery situation and what happened with that. But you might remember prior to all of this happening, just a few days before that, the Prime Minister stood in the House of Commons and said that they had allegations or had intelligence that said alleged that the Indian government was linked to the killing of a Sikh separatist on Canadian soil in British Columbia back in June, and then that was it. That was all that was said, and then of course the President Zelensky thing, and we kind of moved on from this. That being said, India has not. And have expelled or asked to leave some 41 of 62 diplomats. Where are we now? Elliot Tepper with us, Emeritus Professor of Political Science, Carleton University, and here now. Elliot, thanks for the time. I hope you're well.
Oh, thank you.
So, Elliot, we go back to the Prime Minister saying this in the House of Commons. Later, it came out that there was intelligence from the Five Eyes that had talked about all of this. When the Prime Minister got that information, what should he have done as opposed to just stand up in the House and reveal it?
Well, it's quite clear that there was great effort put on keeping this discreet and behind the scenes and a lot of diplomatic conversations. It was not intended to be a public statement, except for the very energetic and efficient journalists that we have in Canada. It was about to be broken into the press. But before that, there was a lot of effort after the, and remember the context, this is a government that has been accused of not listening to the intelligence over China. And they got scorched for this. So no government in Canada was going to ignore intelligence that there was something going on that was untoward, reported by the intelligence community. We sent our national security advisor, Jody Thomas, this is the advisor to the government, twice to India, once for 4 days, once for 5 days. I think the head of CSIS went. And then privately, the issue was raised at the G20 when our prime minister joined all the others at the G20. So there was a great effort to try to resolve this very charged environment by keeping it quiet. And right now, once it's over, once we have this out in the news, the government of Canada is once again saying we aren't trying to pick a fight with India. We're not trying to have bad relations with India. We want to go back to quiet diplomacy. Our foreign minister just said that.
What did the government think the reaction would be? Because clearly the allies have distanced themselves from us on this.
Well, I'm not so sure they have. I know that's a common perception, but in fact, the allies were the source of some of the information very directly. Mm-hmm. The allies, the U.S., sent their diplomats, sent their ambassador to Canada out into the public on the airwaves saying, oh, yes, we provided some of this information. And then the Anthony Blinken, the foreign minister, said there's an effort to drive a wedge between Canada and the U.S. It's not going to happen. And their security advisor, Jake Sullivan, has said no one gets an exemption for this. So I think there's very clear messaging going on, plus the information we hear that President Biden raised this himself at the G20, again, off the record with Mr. Modi. So there's been a lot of public-private going on. Everybody wants to have India on their side, and everybody in the democratic world in this emerging world order because of the emergence of China and their wolf warrior diplomacy, and also because of the Russian situation. India is a key player. Everybody wants India to be a responsible player, but this, of course, is throwing up a cloud in that regard.
So what happens now, Elliot? What's in India's reaction is one of expelling 41 diplomats. They say they're asking for proof. Is any of that happening?
Well, I think they have the proof.
Yeah.
They're well aware of the situation. No, I think this is a real test case, not for Canada, but for India. India is an emerging power. There's a lot to be proud of in terms of what they've been doing. Their successes in all kinds of areas. It's very impressive. And I'm a longtime promoter of good Canada-India relations. I'm terribly saddened by what's going on. But what we do know is that the world expects now India to play a role. They want that role to be a positive role, one that is a reliable partner going forward. I think this is a test case for India. Right now, I don't think they're doing very well on it. They are treating Canada, a NATO member, a G7 member, with something like contempt. How India chooses to present this situation and themselves going forward, I think is going to be a real test case for what kind of country. We know about China and we know about Russia. Mm-hmm. What kind of country will India be as an emerging power?
Does India's reaction to this, expelling the diplomats, obviously giving the cold shoulder to the prime minister, does that create suspicion? In other words, if they were innocent, they wouldn't be acting this way.
Yes, I've been waiting for the next step, and the next step was one we've just seen, and it's a very negative one. If they expel 21 of our diplomats, that means they will have 60 here, and we will have 21 there, a sharp reduction. Then Canada will have to reduce its presence in India, which would be very unfortunate indeed at this stage. I'm not sure where this goes for here. As I say, I think the ball is really in India's court, not in Canada's court, for showing what kind of an emerging power they wish to be. And right now, the signs are rather disconcerting.
We remember 20 years ago, not that long ago, when China was the golden goose. Everybody was courting them. They were the future. They were this, they were that. And we know where we ended up there. Are you concerned the same thing will happen to India? You said it's up to India now to prove sort of their world worth.
Yes, you can count on the fact that the Western world, the democratic world, will continue to court India. They use their weight very, very well. They have a very talented civil service. Their foreign service is very skilled. They will continue to use their weight very successfully going forward, I think. But you may count on it that every country that has a large Indian diaspora is now going to be viewing India in a different fashion as a result of what we've just discovered. They are going to be viewed publicly as, you know, a potential partner and a lot of smiles. But privately, I think they've already paid a reputational cost. How they are being viewed going forward is largely dependent, again, on how this works out between Canada and India.
Does this divide the Indian community, both at home and here?
One of the worst parts of all of this is that Mr. Modi is being accused of using divisions within India. Let's put it differently. I was asked by a Canadian diplomat going to India a few years ago what I thought. And I said, well, Mr. Modi's economic policies may come into conflict with his social policies. So the Hindutva policies, the Hindu majoritarianism that's being used in India, and the increasing strain on not only their minorities, but also on press freedom and so forth. It disturbs me as a friend of India to see India routinely in the public media classed of thought more and more with authoritarian states. The step forward on this, I don't know. I'm hoping that the internal pressures, keeping in mind how important for Canada the Indian relationship is in terms of our population. When we have something like 1.4 million people of Indian origin and about half of them Sikhs, who have been a dynamic part of Canada for so long, India doesn't recognize dual citizenship. So anybody who wants to go home now has to apply for a visa, which is, I mean, back to the home country, not home. The home is Canada. But if they want to go visit their relatives, if they want to go for the marriage season, if they want to do business, all that's now being hindered by, not on the Canadian side, but on the Indian side. Mr. Modi has used the division within India, inside India, to split communities against each other. Remember, he was PNG. He couldn't get a visa to Canada until he became prime minister, or the U.S., because of allegations, unproven, but allegations about his treatment when he was chief minister of Gujarat. that my first home in India. So about Muslims, the division between Sikhs and Hindus is being inflamed unquestionably by the policies and regrettably by the policies of the government of India as part of a majoritarian approach to its holding power, seeking and holding power. But if they transport that back into Canada, and there are signs that that's happening, that would be a most unfortunate result of all of this. You know, we have to all be Canadians in this regard. We have to be very self-aware that manipulation possibly is going on. So it's not a question of immigrants bringing the, you know, the troubles of their home country into Canada. There's real concern now, and I hope it's false, but real concern that foreign countries are importing their domestic concerns into Canada through our very open and dynamic society. And that would be not a justiciable crime, but it would certainly be highly unfortunate.
Elliot Tepper with us, emeritus professor, political science, Carleton University, the relationship between Canada and India and how it is now strained. Elliot, as always, thanks for the time. Be well.
Oh, certainly. Same to you, Scott.
Thanks for listening to the Hamilton Today podcast. You can listen to the show live weekday afternoons from 3 to 6 on 900 CHML and online at 900CHML.com.
Canada may be known for its landscapes and friendly people, but beneath the surface lies a darker side of crime, history, and the paranormal. Since 2017, the award-winning Dark Poutine podcast has explored the shadowy corners of the Great White North and beyond, delivering chilling tales from a uniquely Canadian perspective. Hosted by Mike Brown and Matthew Stockton, with over 300 episodes and fresh releases every Monday, Dark Poutine is your weekly ticket to the creepier side of Canada. Listen to Dark Poutine on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.